Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, where we pledge allegiance to the flag, not a bunch of weirdo groomers. Great to have you with us. Folks, we've got a busy week ahead of us, and we're going to get right to it. There are so many ways that we could take this program, but I have a question for you, and I want to set the stage for this question by explaining something that happened over the weekend. So President Trump and Ron DeSantis were out on the campaign trails, and President Trump was speaking in Georgia and also in North Carolina. Now, I was a little busy over the weekend, had some things to do, appointments, luncheons, the whole nine yards. I'll just, have to run errands. And so I was out and about. I was checking the Twitter feed late in the day Saturday, and I noticed that a lot of the DeSantis people were making fun of President Trump and the size of the former president's crowds. And they posted some photos, and I thought to myself, well, my goodness, those do not look like normal Trump crowds. And the whole point was they were trying to convince people on social media. And by the way, what a cesspool. I mean, what it's just like, I mean, every day just trudging through the sewage. Anyway, I was reading through the, and the whole point was they wanted you to think that Trump had lost his, has lost his mojo. Well, it took all of 30 seconds for me to figure out what was going on. It turns out that Trump was actually not holding rallies. He was invited to speak at an event. One of them was the Georgia Republican State Convention, and the other was in North Carolina. So unless you are a delegate to that particular organization, you're not getting an invitation. So the crowd size had nothing to do with Donald Trump at all. And shame on you, Team DeSantis, for suggesting otherwise. I will throw this out. Team DeSantis was out there, and their candidate was on the campaign trail. Got to say, the crowds looked a little sparse, and he wasn't attending any sort of official invitation-only event. But that's not what I'm getting ready to ask you. There was a moment, and it was one of these uniquely Trump moments when he shows up unannounced at a Waffle House. And it was as glorious as you might imagine it to be. As a matter of fact, we have video of this over on my website, toddstarnes.com. And it's not that the president just went in there and did a photo op. The president went in and he shook people's hands. He said hello. He autographed baseballs. There was this one moment where a young man came up to him, a young African-American a teenager, and he asked the president if he could get an internship at the White House, which is a bit unusual seeing how the president is supposed to be a flaming racist. But the president was not only amenable, he said, hey, is that your mother? And he said, yes. And he said, well, come on, let's bring mom up. And he brought the mother up, and they had this beautiful moment in front of the cameras getting their pictures made. Then there was another moment when the people came in, and we will pull this audio for you. Because it sounded like one of the regular callers to this program who was in that Waffle House. And you could hear this woman. Trump comes in and people start applauding. And this woman said, I love you, Donald. I love you, Donald. And the president said, well, I love you back, or something to that effect. And it was just a great moment. The president bought everybody waffles. They told him to order the pecan waffles, which he did. Secret Service, by the way, ordered some takeout. Well, of course you're going to do that. You got to get the scattered, covered, and smothered, even if you're with the Secret Service. They know what's up. And so anyway, and then a lady actually hollers out that she made his mother's meatloaf recipe. It's a delicious meatloaf. I'm going to tell you, it's a very good meatloaf. They serve it at Mar-a-Lago. So, and he asked, well, how is it? And she said it was delicious, and I guess they made him some meatloaf. And it was this great moment, right? Just, it was a uniquely Trump moment, and he was in the zone, and it's not like, yeah, there was all of this chaos, the media circus around him, but Trump was just one-on-one with people. So there was another video that was out there, and it showed DeSantis, and he had Mrs. Governor and one of the children, and they were doing the same thing. They were meeting campaign people, and it was very interesting because there was a moment where DeSantis was so focused on the camera that he missed this poor guy that was trying to shake his hand, and it was like DeSantis was so distracted that he shook the guy's hand without even looking at the man in his face. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, that's the issue. And a lot of this, and you can say that, well, Trump is an experienced politician. He is actually not as experienced as Ron DeSantis is out on the campaign trail. But I thought it was interesting because President Trump made this observation over the weekend. Cut number four, please.
But we're leading by a lot. We're leading to sanctimonious by massive numbers. He's heading south quickly. No personality. You got to have a personality to win. He's got no personality.
He's got no personality. Now, I don't know if this is, I just want to see the real person, right? So I just want to see the real Ron DeSantis. I want to see the real Larry Elder. I want to see the real Nikki Haley. What you see when Trump walks in, it's the good, the bad, the ugly, but it's Trump. It's 1,000% authentic Trump. There is a new survey out, a new poll. This is a post-indictment poll from CBS News. Trump now leads DeSantis by 38 points. 38 points. Now, look, my vote goes for whoever the nominee is, but I've already endorsed Trump, and it's always important for me to be honest with you about that. I don't want you to forget it. And the reason why I don't want you to forget it is because you might think, oh, well, wait a second, Todd's biased. Yeah, I'm supporting Trump, but I don't want to have anybody in our field destroyed. I don't want to have them damaged in the event something happens and Trump cannot run. I mean, it's a long time between now and the election. And who knows what could happen? We just don't know. So if DeSantis is the second best, may I just ask a question here? What's not working for you? Something's not clicking with people. There's no way that he should be trailing Donald Trump by 38 points if, in fact, and everybody has said this, everybody who calls in, they always say this, Trump is my first choice, but DeSantis is my second. It seems to me those numbers should be a little bit closer. So what are you seeing that the rest of us are not seeing? Something's not connecting. Team DeSantis is not connecting with the voters. Now, I know they've got the paid people, the influencers on social media, and they're singing his praises. I get that, all right? But the voters, the people that are going out to Waffle House, the people that are going to the rodeo, something's not connecting there. And I wonder what it is. Tim Scott, I think Tim Scott is running a much more effective and positive campaign than Ron DeSantis is right now. That doesn't mean that DeSantis can't, I don't know, fix all of this. But I'm wondering, what is it? What is it about Ron DeSantis that is not connecting with the Republican voters? I think he has to, look, at this point, Trump will not select him as his running mate. And the reason why is because he brings nothing to the table right now. He's not bringing any voters. Trump has them all. And the argument has been from day one that DeSantis is basically a younger version of Trump. So I'm curious. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I'm just curious. What is it that DeSantis needs to do that he is not doing right now? Maybe he's doing something and he needs to stop. I'm just very curious. He's not connecting with people. And I think that moment when DeSantis basically brushed aside that guy, the guy who wanted to shake his hand, and he basically, and he wasn't saying this, but his body language was, you are not important. I need to be in front of the cameras. I need to be yucking it up for the camera. I'm not sure that's not going to be effective for him. I just don't think it is. All right, we got to take a break here. We will come back. We're going to go to the phones. Also, I want to talk to you about this Trump indictment. Tomorrow is going to be really a history-making day in this country. And we are really, really heading into some dangerous waters. And I want to talk about why and what's really going on here. I have a couple of theories and thoughts about that. All right, again, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Hope you're doing well. We're going to play this audio for you from Waffle House in just a moment. There are three or four just awesome sound bites, and I get tickled by the one. The lady just hollering out, "We love you, Donald!" All right, let's go to Memphis, Tennessee, starting our day at our flagship radio station, the great KWAM. Johnny in Memphis. Hey, Johnny, so what do you make here of DeSantis? What is it that's not connecting?
Well, Todd, he's really not hitting him hard enough. You know, first of all, he need a good nickname, which is Donald J. Six Trump. He need a good nickname. That's one point.
What? And did you give Trump a nickname there, Johnny? What was the nickname?
Donald J. Six Trump.
Sick Trump. Oh, I don't know about
Donald J. Sick.
Yeah, it's still not working for me. Yeah, we got to work on the nickname. All right, it's a work in progress.
But he's not hitting him. He needs to tell his base and the people that he goes out that this time around it's not going to be for the people. It's going to be an abuse of power this time out for Donald J. Sick Trump, and that's what it's going to be. He's not hitting him hard enough. He's taking it easy on it.
You think if DeSantis just goes after and starts punching Trump, that's going to endear people to him?
Right. Todd, he don't have nothing to lose. What has he got to lose? Trump leading in the polls anyway. So what has he, tell him, do y'all want to indict an ex-president, And then it's not going to, if he get elected, all these rumors about it's going to divide the country. Well, the country showed him that America showed him that they are better You know, and that's what DeSantis needs to do.
So I take it, Johnny, you're being subtle here, but I take it you're not a big Trump fan.
Never.
All right. Never. All right. Johnny, good. Never. We've got you on the record. Appreciate that call. Work on the nickname. Give me a call back. Let me, you see, I just don't think that's it. Actually, I know it's not it. People are not going to vote for somebody just because you're bashing them. Yeah, I think it's the personal connection. Let me, has anybody asked Ron DeSantis for his mother's meatloaf recipe? Has that happened? If it has, I haven't heard about it. But I'm telling you, they love Mother Trump and the meatloaf recipe. All right, let's go to Salem, Oregon. Is it Daron? Is that your name? Did I pronounce it correctly?
It's Darren.
Darren. All right, my apologies.
That's all right. It's all right. Hey, I want to clarify and focus, and I think everybody should, and that includes me and you. Look, I don't have a preference between Donald J. Trump or Ron DeSantis. I have a preference on a conservative with conservative values in the White House. Okay, I don't care which one gets it. Honestly, I don't. I think both of them are respectable candidates. I just want whichever one has the best chance of winning.
So wait. So you're wanting somebody who is either going to be able to win or is the most conservative?
No, I think both of those candidates will do what needs to be done, right? No.
So what are you clarifying for me, Darren? Hold on. What are you clarifying for me? You said you wanted to clarify something on your behalf. What is that?
We're getting stuck on the. We're losing what's important here. Can Donald J. Trump, okay, which I voted for, and would vote for again if I felt he could actually win in 24? That's what I want to know.
So you don't think he can win?
What's that?
Do you think he can win?
I honestly don't know, and that's what scares me. I don't know, even if he gets all the support from the Republicans, every single one of the other people running, support him, endorse him, get behind him, can he win? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know for all of these people, because that's what we have to have. We cannot have another 4 years of what's going on in the White House right now. Our country can't take it.
No, they can't. I will say this, Darren, and my concern is DeSantis, because if Trump is not going to be the guy, and the powers that be that run the party say, well, DeSantis is the guy, I'm not seeing it. I am not seeing the path forward for Ron DeSantis. And that troubles me, because I'm not sure he picks up independent voters or even some Democrats. I just don't see it. He's trying too hard to be like Trump. And I want to see Ron DeSantis be Ron DeSantis. That's all. All right.
Well, there you go. And that's fair.
Okay, good stuff. Darren, appreciate the call. We got to run for a break here momentarily. So I want to, coming up after the break, I want to just jump into the theory I have about what is really going on here. Because tomorrow our country goes down a path that is fraught with danger. It's sort of like going whitewater rafting on the Ocoee River after a heavy rainstorm. We are in for a bumpy ride here, folks. And I don't think I'm wrong here. I think that the Biden administration is wanting there to be unrest in this nation. Now, we laid down the path forward on last week's show, last Friday, and we have been pretty deliberate in saying that we have to be happy warriors and we cannot embrace the tactics of the left. But I think they're hoping for violence. I think that the other side here is hoping for unrest, maybe leading to martial law as we get closer to the presidential election. There's a lot going on here, a lot to unravel, and we're gonna jump into it after the break here. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
confused me.
How, everything good? I like the hat. You did a good job before with the pictures. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
everybody, for coming. It's a nice crowd.
I love you, Donald. I love you.
How are the waffles? Are they good?
Yeah, you need to get pecans on it, Mr. President. Get the pecans.
I don't know who that lady is. She's a national treasure. The one says, you got to get the pecans, Mr. President. If you're going to go to Waffle House, you got to get the pecan waffles. They're really good. I'm telling you. It's high level eating over at the Waffle House. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us today. May I ask you another question? I have a lot of questions today. So are you familiar with the U.S. flag code? Because yours truly is. And it's a big deal for me that that the flag of the United States of America is treated with respect. So over the weekend, there was a big gay pride party on the White House lawn. I mean, thousands of people, thousands. And there was there were a lot of decorations. And on the balcony of the White House, they actually draped a giant transgender flag. So now, apparently, there are multiple gay flags. I had no idea, but there are gay flags all over the place. I mean, they're flapping in the breeze this way and that way. I've never seen anything like it. So anyway, we've got the picture and the video over at toddstearns.com. And so they've got this transgender pride flag draped over the balcony. And it was adorned on either side by American flags. This was an egregious violation of the U.S. flag code. Rule number 7 says that the American flag should always be at the center and must be posted higher than the other flags. That did not happen. Now, a lot of people are very upset, including, now listen up, all you KQAM folks there in Wichita. Your great Senator Roger Marshall, he said this is a disgrace. Not only is it in breach of U.S. flag code, but it's a glaring example of this White House's incompetence and insistence on putting their social agenda ahead of patriotism. No, I don't know. Dylan. I don't know if they have drag queens on the White House lawn. I do not know. President Biden, though, doubled down. So they knew the controversy had been raging all weekend. So then he posted a photograph of the progress. They call it the Progress Pride flag. It's all very confusing. On the official Twitter page. When he posted the photo, they cropped out the American flags. Who does that? The president included a message. Today, the people's house, your house, sends a clear message to the country and to the world. America is a nation of pride. So it's important to understand the messaging here. So America is no longer the land of the free and the home of the brave. We are now a bunch of pronoun-confused, non-binary wackadoodles. But the White House, they don't think they did anything wrong here. And the reason why is they don't pledge allegiance to Old Glory. They pledge allegiance to the transgender flag. That's what they're doing. And that's why they do that. Now, just remember something here. It is legal for a citizen to burn an American flag, but if you burn a gay pride flag, you could actually be charged with a hate crime and spend decades in jail. So there you go. Here's my take on it. We can either pledge allegiance to the flag that was carried into battle by our soldiers who fought for and shed their blood for and died for that flag, or we can pledge our allegiance to the Skittle flag, the flag of intolerance and grooming and medical mutilation of children. I think you know what flag I'm going to be pledging my allegiance to. 844-747-8868. Are you just tired of it? Anybody else just tired? Are you tired of just all this transgender stuff being shoved in your face? My Lord, over the weekend, the buttless leather chaps all over the place. Oh, it was hideous. Just giant people and little leather thongs parading about in these family-friendly events. That's what they say, right? They're family friendly. I saw this one video where you had these guys in bondage wear with leather masks on, and they had the leather chains, and they were being they were being led around on a leash like they were some sort of a perverted puppy dog at a pride parade where you have children. And I'm just curious, are you tired of it, America? I mean, just geez-a-loo. 844-747-8868. I can't even look at Skittles anymore. I just can't. So I'm just curious, if you're as tired of this as I am, let's go to Bobby in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Bobby, are you tired of all of this?
I am absolutely angry about this. This just reminds me of what Obergefell really celebrates, and that is the ideals of King George III that led to the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, I think we lost Bobby. Bobby, give us a call back. He was making a pretty good point. But I'm telling you, this is, folks, this is not about sex and gender. This is a religion. This is a perverted, demented, demonic religion. That's what this is all about. But I'm just, it's really sad. I mean, it really is sad what's happening. But he said, and Biden said it for everybody to hear, America is a nation of pride. You heterosexuals, you don't count anymore. This is all about advancing the agenda. I mean, it really is. I don't know what you want me to tell you. Oh, by the way, Kellogg's, have you heard about this one? And then we're going to get to your calls here. Kellogg's, the breakfast cereal people, the makers of Fruit Loops, have now announced that they are going gay. They sent Tony the Tiger to the Tony Awards. That's the Broadway Show Awards. Oh, I've got a story about that you're going to love. I'll save that for later. So Tony the Tiger, they're great. They sent Tony the Tiger to work the red carpet. Well, it's not red carpet, it's magenta. Of course it is. It's a fabulous look. So anyway, they sent Tony the Tiger to work the magenta carpet. And who shows up? That Dylan Mulvaney dude. And Mulvaney and Tony the Tiger are cavorting about. It was like a transgender furry moment right there in front of God and country and the 25 people who are watching the CBS Tony Awards. So anyway, they're now embracing transgenderism over at Kellogg's. And a lot of people are like, didn't they learn from what happened with Bud Light or Target? But these companies don't care. They would rather go out of business than offend the transgender people. Just hear me on this. I mean, it's true. They would rather go out of business and be homeless than offend the LGBT movement. That's it. It's that simple. So we have an obligation to help them on that path to homelessness. That's what we have to do here, folks. It's the only way that we're going to be able to get through to these people. So, anyway, Dylan, I don't know if Tony the Tiger is going to have a use law. I don't know. They're great. Gay. We'll work on it. Wow. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going right to your calls. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in on Pride Month, what's happening at the White House. I want to ask our veterans, though, a very simple question. When you signed up for our great all-volunteer military, did you sign up to fight for Old Glory or a transgender flag? Which was it? 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, welcome. Welcome back, everybody. Let's get right to the phones. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Jackson, Tennessee. Lucy is listening to us on WNWS. Hi, Lucy. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Oh, I'm so thankful for you.
Well, thank you.
I love listening to you. I love President Trump, and I thought that was awesome about him going to the Waffle House and just how real he is. I mean, he's just the same anywhere, whoever he is with. Doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, it doesn't matter one way. He just loves people. He loves America. And I am so sick of all this LGBTQ movement. I just want to scream. I think if I hear one more word about, like, just what you said, Kellogg's, goodness. I mean, is there nothing sacred anymore?
I kind of figured Toucan Sam would be the first to identify, you know, not Tony the Tiger. I mean, you know, Fruit Loops being what it is, but yeah, I don't want to stereotype.
Well, what a mess. Oh,
yes.
We just got to keep praying that President Trump will get back in, and we're having a wonderful mayor race over here tomorrow.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear that, Lucy. We got a skedaddle, but I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for listening to our great affiliate there in Jackson, Tennessee. I will say this, and we will expand on this this conversation after the top of the hour, moving into our second hour. But hear me on this Trump indictment. Just hear me out. It's only about one thing. They want President Trump to die in prison. That is his punishment for defeating Hillary Clinton and for waging war on the deep state. I mean, it really is that simple, folks. They want to destroy this man, and then they want to dance on his grave. This is evil. It is demonic. But this is at the very core. That's what this is all about. All right, let's go to Statesville, North Carolina. Bill, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Good Monday to you, Todd.
Hello.
Thing about it is, I've never been much of a cereal eater myself. I like hot cereal, as some people call it, oatmeal. But anyway, come with me tomorrow. I'm going down to Florida. My aunt makes some of the best chicken you ever sink your teeth into, and she don't have a rainbow rocking chair on her porch. And we'll fill the coolers up full of beverage, but it won't be Bud Light. And Ron DeSantis, if he wants to be up there at the big house on the big stage running the big show, he better start shaking people's hands and looking at them eye to eye, face to face. If he don't start doing that, he's just another politician, and we got enough of them up there in Washington, D.C.
I just get the impression, Bill, that DeSantis is uncomfortable meeting the people, you know, going and press. And the whole reason we have the first primary in New Hampshire and the first caucus in Iowa is really, for me, it's to see how the candidates interact with the regular folk. And Donald Trump, I mean, the guy is a blue collar billionaire. I mean, the guy just, he's just like one of us.
From rags to riches several times over, he knows what it's like to be poor, and he knows what it's like to be rich. It's like that lady caller from Tennessee that called just before me. She said it the best. He is a people's person.
Yeah.
It don't matter if you're wearing Levi's. It don't matter if you're wearing a $500 suit. It don't matter with Donald Trump. People just don't realize that. People don't want to look at that. They want to take someone down that's successful, Todd. And, you know, it's always been that way. If
look,
you think about it,
Bill, I want DeSantis to succeed here. I truly do, because I think that he's got what it, I think he has what it takes. But whoever's running that campaign is doing a pretty lousy job. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
much.
I agree.
All right, Bill.
He's doing a real good job down there in Florida.
Safe travels to you tomorrow. And, tomorrow's going to be a huge day in the life of this country. Bill, appreciate that call. Let's real quick go to Greg in Georgia, listening to us on our great affiliate there, WDUN. Hi, Greg. What's up?
Hey, Todd. I don't know if you've got your answer about DeSantis yet. I wanted to chime in on that a little bit. I think there's a natural rhythm to everything, and everyone has a season and a time and a place. My initial thoughts, I was kind of in shock when he entered the race. I think it was premature, and even, you know, Jesus said, my hour is not yet come. They were pressuring him to do things. He's like, look, my hour is not yet come. He could have, like Ron DeSantis, he could have been pressured a little bit into this and got ahead of himself. And so it's just not flowing for him, because when you're, and he's like a duck out of water, because when you start striving and stressing and trying to make something happen, a lot of times it just doesn't happen. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And kind of feel like that's the way it's going for him right now. And I really like him, you know, but I just really thought he jumped the gun there ahead of time.
Yeah, Greg, I think that's a pretty good analysis. It's just not his time yet. And I think maybe deep down he knew that and he knows that, but there were much larger forces at play. And those forces are more, I think they're more interested in having Trump taken out than watching DeSantis truly succeed. And that's unfair to DeSantis and certainly unfair to the former president. Greg, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening today. So we're gonna jump into more of this in the next hour. Also, Charlie Kirk made some interesting comments over the weekend. They were having a large gathering of conservative women, young ladies, so girls in, I guess, what, high school, college, and in a little bit older, post-college. And Charlie Kirk is suggesting that women should be more focused on having babies and taking care of the home front. And we're going to play some audio from this. It's really interesting. It's caused a bit of a debate, a discussion on social media. But he was initially responding to an audience member, and she's involved in TPUSA, and she says, hey, look, you know, I want to be a surgeon. And she's not interested in getting married, at least not now. And Charlie Kirk says, basically, you have to choose. And I'm curious to hear from our female listeners. Do you ascribe to that? Should women consider staying at home and having kids or going into the workplace? Can you have both and be successful? And it was a pretty interesting message. We're going to play a couple of sound bites from Charlie when we come back. A lot of people talking about it. Interesting. All right. We've got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. Again, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So glad to have you with us. You know, we talk a lot on this radio program. We're on, what, 144 stations, and yet it just sort of seems like we're one big front porch, and we're just hanging out in our rocking chairs that are not rainbow colored. And well, some of you may have rainbow colored rocking chairs. That's your call, not mine. And we just hang out, have a good time. We share good news, bad news. We laugh a lot on this program, and every now and again, we have folks that are going through difficulties, and you know, we want to try to encourage them. During the commercial break, I received an urgent message from a very dear friend. I have known her for 25 years. Her name is Joni Hannigan, and she and I have worked together. She is a great journalist and has a wonderful family down in Florida. And Joni is, and her family are going through some difficult times. She just sent me a note. Her 16-year-old grandson was diving into a swimming pool, and there was an accident. And now we understand that her grandson is paralyzed and is in the pediatric intensive care unit of a hospital in the Jacksonville area. And they're asking for prayer. And I just want to pass that along to you. Her grandson's name is Joey. He is 16 years old. And I can't imagine being a parent and being in that sort of a situation, being a grandparent and being in that sort of a situation. So, again, for those of you who pray, if you would take a moment and just remember the Hannigan family of Florida as they're going through this. And let's pray for a miracle. It's amazing what happens when people of faith, when God's people pray and lift someone up. You just never know what a miracle might happen. So there you go. All right. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, Charlie Kirk is catching a little bit of heat over something he said over the weekend regarding women and whether they should put their career first or they should go and get married first. And I want to play a couple of sound bites for you. First of all, cut number 19.
In my personal opinion, you should enter the serious dating pool earlier than not, right? I'm talking 22, 23, 24. This whole idea of putting your career first, I think, is a very, very dangerous proposition. It could work out for you, but I hear stories every day. Charlie, I decided to go become a partner at a law firm, and now I'm 32 years old, and I can't find anyone because all the good ones are gone. There is some truth to, quote-unquote, the good ones being gone. The window does narrow, and so I think you should prioritize. What do I want most in my life? And if that thing is the best thing that I think a human being can do, which is to get married and have kids, then you should do that with clear intentionality.
All right. Is that true? Do you ascribe to that philosophy that you should go ahead and get married first, ladies? And he was speaking specifically, he was speaking at a women's conference of TPUSA. So and that's why I'm addressing this question to the ladies of the audience. I have noticed here at the broadcast bunker that most of the guys and gals who work, gal who works here, they all got married or are getting married in their early 20s. So they're doing the career thing, but they're also getting married. They're doing the married thing. So I'm curious, ladies, is that what a lot of people are talking about these days? Do you have that debate over whether or not you get married first or do you put your career first? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, a young lady got up from the audience and she asked Charlie a question, cut number 18.
Good afternoon, Mr. Kirk. My name is Abigail, and I'm one of the co-presidents of the new TPUSA chapter at Pepperdine University in Malibu, California. Woo! My other co-president is right there. She's awesome. So, like these other women in this room, I am very driven career-wise, and my goals are set on succeeding as an orthopedic surgeon. And I have really rarely thought about even getting married, having children, and even going into dating. Like, it's just something that I never really thought about. Would you be able to give me some advice as somebody who so badly wants to succeed in surgery, but to get out of residency fellowship, I'm going to be 30 before I can really focus on myself. So what's some advice for really balancing my career as well as venturing into settling down?
Yeah, you're going to have to choose which one matters more. And that will be up to you. So, first of all, thank you for being involved with Turning Point USA. So here's my piece of advice. Go try to spend a couple days with babies, and if it doesn't move you to want to have some of your own, then go do the surgeon thing. I mean that. If you don't get baby fever being around young kids as a young lady, then you kind of have your answer. But if you're around a young child or a young baby or, like, all of a sudden something greater than yourself gets activated, where all of a sudden you feel maybe a prodding by the Holy Spirit, then you got something to think about. But look, you could potentially do both. You could become an orthopedic surgeon and still do that. But there will be a lot of people that says, oh, just put the family thing on hold and put that on hold. I just want to caution you, a reality is that there are a lot of successful 35-year-old orthopedic surgeons that have cats and not kids. And they're very miserable. Most of the radical left is largely being run by childless young ladies, young women that are in their mid-30s that are super miserable on antidepressants because I think they're missing something.
All right. So there you go. That's that. I will say this, that there was a time in American history not terribly long ago when, by and large, the norm was that the man would go off and he would hunt and gather and the woman would stay at home and tend to the house and raise the children. And that's the way it was for a very long time until you had the sexual revolution. And again, I'm not saying that everybody did that, but by and large, that was the norm. And you did not see the level of chaos in our society that you see now, where mom and dad are either both working or there's only a mom in the house or a dad in the house, or you got two women or you got two guys or you got a furry non-binary reptile. I don't know what that. Yeah, it's so crazy right now in the society. But back when that was the norm, when you had this idea of dad goes to work and earns the money and then mom raises the kids and runs the household. And they were both full-time jobs. Matter of fact, my dad used to call my mother a domestic goddess. Those days, are they gone? And I wonder if you are a woman who has to work. I mean, some people, they have to work to make ends meet. And I'm wondering, given the preference, given the choice, would you rather work at home or stay at home and raise the children and run the household, or would you rather be out in the workforce? And I don't think a lot of people are having those conversations anymore. I think that's where Charlie was going with all of this. But clearly something is off here. And when you allow preschool, when you allow public school to raise your kids from the age of 3 or 4, are we really surprised that the country's gone to hell in a handbasket? I mean, really? All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to play this soundbite from a Politico reporter. Made an interesting observation over the weekend about Donald Trump. Cut 5.
The vibe at the rally yesterday, how was that?
They're all Trump diehards. I mean, the first stop was in Georgia. It was at the state party convention, and it was just MAGA hat after MAGA hat after MAGA hat. And in North Carolina, it was much the same thing. One very notable thing that you saw yesterday is Trump actually racked up a bunch of endorsements yesterday, both in Georgia, and he was traveling with a member of the House GOP, in addition to Marjorie Taylor Greene, a member of the House GOP leadership, Richard Hudson, who's overseeing the House GOP campaign arm. And I thought that was really notable because it just shows what a lock he has on the congressional party leadership, even amid all of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one note just on the rallies really quickly. I thought what was interesting is that not only did he have his supporters there, but he packed the House.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of questions because I had spoken to a lot of Republican advisors, operatives, who were very concerned about this indictment. That could not have been farther from what we saw.
All right, there you go. So, again, the question to DeSantis people, what are you guys doing to move the needle for your guy? I mean, put Trump aside for a moment. What are you doing, DeSantis supporters, to move that needle to get people to join the DeSantis train? Let's go to Donald in North Carolina. Hey, Donald, what's on your mind?
You were talking about DeSantis and Trump, and the thought occurred to me. Let me get this in here, too. Quit saying MAGA and say what it means. Make America great again. It didn't take much longer to say that. However, if DeSantis wanted to be president someday, he ought to pull out, support Trump, become his vice president, and he'd be a shoo-in in the next election.
Yeah, I've suggested that on the program, and I asked Trump about that last week he was on the show, And Trump said it's pretty unlikely that's going to happen. I mean, he didn't just shut the door on it. But at this point, he said that's pretty unlikely.
Well, to me, if DeSantis wanted to be president, he would, through the next term of Donald Trump, he would be the next president.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from, Donald, and I don't necessarily disagree with you on that. Appreciate that call. Let's go to Anna in Georgia, wants to weigh in on Charlie Kirk. Hey, Anna, what say you?
Hey, Charlie. Hey, Todd. I think that Charlie he didn't force anybody to commit to any one thing, but he brought it before them and said, here's the reality. Here's the realities of what you're going to do, and here's the realities of what I think, what he thought was the problem with a lot of women who aren't married. But I was born in 1951, so I'm 72 years old, and my mom and dad, you know, it's a different culture. It's just a completely different culture, and that's why a lot of us struggle with not only the different cultures that will happen, but the distortion of that culture by this garbage we're dealing with right now, because it really is garbage. That's crazy stuff what we're having to deal with. And so the only thing I would say about Charlie is, you know, I just don't think he was forcing anybody. I think he brought up some good points. And that, you know, it's food for thought. You know, this is important. Getting married is a very important thing. And having a career is a very, and I have a career, you know, and I'm still working. I was married. My husband passed away. I divorced when I was young, but I had a couple of kids who turned out good. And I worked, but, you know, like he said, that key word was balance. And you have to have that balance because your family really does have to come first.
It's a fair point, Anna. And again, going back to that era, and I'm not saying every family was perfect, but by and large, you didn't have the chaos. You didn't have the mass shootings and the everybody seemed to know their pronouns. People went to church. There was a strong family unit back in the 40s, 50s, and it began to unravel in the latter part of the 1960s. And then it became a free-for-all, a cultural free-for-all.
I'll tell you, if you've got something to compare it to like I do, then it's a heartbreak. Because I see, my kids, you know, are in their 50s. But they, you know, they started out later. They're balanced people. They have wonderful children. I'm just so proud of my kids and their husbands. You know, I never had boys, but I had girls. You know, it's just a blessing what I've got. And I see some people, you know, have all the material goods that they would want there, but they don't have love. They don't have consideration. They don't have the love of children. It's heartbreaking. And then, of course, you throw in all this other distortion. I'm really worried. I really am worried about life on this planet, not only in this United States of America. Although I love the United States, I think we really going to have to start making some hard decisions about priorities.
Well, the Bible tells us to go forth and multiply, and we got to do that. We got to do it. Anna, got to run. I am super late for a break. Appreciate you calling in here. Folks, I've got to tell you about our good buddy, Mike Lindell. We haven't talked about him in a while. Mike has some incredible new products, including something called MyPillow 2.0. It is a brand new, all new pillow that has a temperature regulating thread. In other words, it's always cool. And I love that when it comes to MyPillow. You got to check it out. MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. If you enter my last name as a promo code, they're going to give you a great, great discount. Buy one, get one free. MyPillow.com/Starnes.
Hey,
Hey, Todd, this is Randy from Wisconsin. Comment about the veterans and the American flag. I'm a veteran myself. Can you imagine the United States going into battle and instead of having the American flag raised on a tank or a landing craft or whatever, they've got the gay pride flag? Can you imagine what the opposition forces would think of that? I can't even imagine.
Yeah, crazy. And I appreciate that call, but it's a fair point that Randy brings up. Can you imagine, are we going to be going into battle? You know, when we go to war with China, will we be flying the gay pride and transgender pride and whatever other kind of pride flags on our ships? I mean, exactly what extent are we going to take this nonsense, ladies and gentlemen? All right, I got to talk to you about Sean Hayes and what happened at the Tony Awards last night. If you didn't watch it, nobody did. Nobody watches this. Does anybody really even watch this thing? Anyway, Sean Hayes finally got his Emmy Award, and he dedicated it to his husband. And Mr. Hayes was one of five people that had been nominated for this Tony Award. He was the only white guy. The only white guy. The rest were all black men. So four black men and one white guy. And the gay white guy won. And now a lot of people are really upset. Now my question is, if you're playing identity politics, does gay white guy trump straight black guy? Now I think that gay black guy trumps everybody, but again, I mean, it's, should he give it back? I think he should, right? I mean, that would be the right thing to do. Now, some of you watching the program on our various video channels, Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, you will notice that I'm a bit more casual today, and I want to explain why. It has been terrible. We got some storms that moved through the Memphis, Tennessee area last night, and man, were they ferocious. Straight line wind, 70 miles an hour, and power's been out. I haven't had power. It's been, 12, 14 hours. And the power is still out, ladies and gentlemen. So that being said, it was rather interesting trying to get dressed and get gussied up when it was pitch dark inside. The only candle I could find was one of those aroma candles. It smelled very fragrant, but it didn't give off much light. So my apologies. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Charles in North Carolina. Charles, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. Todd, I was just thinking over the weekend that, you know, what's happened last week with this indictment of Donald Trump and what's getting ready to happen tomorrow in Miami, that this whole election in 2024 has taken on a new dimension. You know, typically presidential elections are about policy and, you know, you're debating on issues such as inflation, national security, energy independence, and all of that. And you put your ideas out there, and the best person wins. That's called democracy. But now, thanks to this indictment, you have somebody targeting their political opponent. And what's really on the ballot is whether or not we're going to remain a constitutional republic. Because if Donald Trump, if he loses the 2024 election, there's a good chance he could spend the rest of his life in jail. If he wins, I think he has the grit and determination to go in there and clean house. And I think that's why they hate him so much. That's why they've interfered in the last three election cycles. And they're going to do anything and everything that they can to prevent him from getting back into office. But
all right. Well, let me jump in here, Charles. There's a lot to unravel. And yes, you are correct that they will stop him. And if you add up all the sentences over 500 years, if he's convicted on all 37 counts over 500 years, this man will spend in prison. They want to destroy him and his family, and they want to destroy this country. Now, if in fact Trump goes to prison, all bets are off. You know, we tell people to be peaceful here, but you can only tell people to be peaceful. I mean, ultimately, it's up to those people what they do. But my concern is what's going to happen when Trump gets elected and he is in the White House. Are we going to have another incident like we had in 2020? And a lot of people want to forget about this happening, but we don't forget here. When you had the rioters storming the White House gates and the media completely ignored this story, this was during the George Floyd riots. Over 60 Secret Service members were injured during the attacks. And the mainstream media actually joked at the time that they made Trump hide in the basement of the White House. Yes, because they were afraid they were going to burn down the White House. So my concern is what happens if the guy gets elected? I think the left will go in a rage and we will see rioting and we will see violence like we have never seen before if Trump is elected. And it'll be coming from the left.
And Todd, I agree with you 100%. And if that happens, rather than let them burn down our cities and do what they did to us in 2020, we're going to have to go out there and fight back. I mean, there comes a point where, you know, you have to put a little muscle behind the words. It just can't be all talk. But, you know, I talked to friends this weekend. I don't care whether you're Republican, an independent, a sensible Democrat. If they are allowed to get away with this, what they're trying to do to Trump, there's never going to be another Republican elected again, because any person that announces a run for the White House, if it conflicts with the narrative of the left, they're going to use agencies like the IRS. They're going to use the FBI. They're going to go.
Well, they've already done it, Charles. They've already used these agencies against us.
Yeah. Yep, and they're using it. Even Gavin Newsom is threatening Ron DeSantis with, you know, criminality. But a Republican's going to be afraid to run for office again. They're going to say, hey, do I want to put myself through this? Do I want to put my family through this? And we will have lost. So this is the time that all these Republican candidates, I think they just need to drop out, unite behind Donald Trump. And we've got to win this thing. We've got to show up on Election Day. And we've got to secure our elections at the state and local level, so they could not steal this thing like they did last time, Todd.
All right, Charles, appreciate that call and thank you for listening. So I want to explain this for you, and I'm not going to get into the legal weeds of the indictment. All right, we will save that for tomorrow. But I want to address one issue. If in fact the reason why Trump was indicted was because he harbored classified documents. He had these documents in his possession. And let's set aside for the moment that the president was allowed to have those documents because of the Presidential Records Act. All right, we're setting that aside for just a moment. So at face value, Trump was indicted for harboring classified documents. He will be arraigned tomorrow on those charges. So why wasn't President Biden arrested? Seriously, same charge. Same charge. Why wasn't President Biden arrested? Why wasn't Mike Pence arrested? Same thing happened, right? And by the way, they did not have a Presidential Records Act to claim as a defense. So if you're going to, and by the way, and we're going to get to Hillary in just a minute here, because what Hillary did was far worse. There was a cover-up involved and the destruction of evidence. I mean, there can be obstruction charges out the wazoo, but the FBI decided not to do that. Hillary Clinton literally ordered staff to use hammers to destroy cell phones. Hillary Clinton used the bleach bit. And by the way, this is not a liquid item that you can purchase. This is software. They were using bleach bit. To permanently erase emails, classified emails. So why isn't Hillary Clinton in jail here, right? So here's my take. Charge everybody or charge nobody. On this particular charge, you're either going to charge everybody or nobody at all. But that's not what it's all about. the left wants to destroy Donald Trump. I mean, it really is that simple. They don't want him anywhere near the White House. Rachel Maddow let the cat out of the bag on her program on MSNBC, Cut 21.
You have to wonder if the Justice Department is considering whether there is some political solution to this criminal problem, whether part of the issue here is not just that Trump has committed crimes, but that Trump has committed crimes and plans on being back in the White House. Do they consider, as part of a potential plea offer, something that would proscribe him from running for office again? I don't know.
I would imagine if anything like that happened, that it would have to come from the defense side of the negotiation, that that the Trump team would say, oh, by the way, and with this, we will also, you know, drop out of the race for president. Otherwise, it would put the Justice Department in this position that Donald Trump claims they're in. You know, he claims they're trying to stop him, simply trying to stop him from becoming president again. And that's the only reason they're doing this. So my guess, given those dynamics and the change, I think, in the way the Justice Department sees this in those 50 years since Spiro Agnew, it just seems unlikely that they would reach into the political zone of the solution. Our politics does have to find a solution to this, but it might have to find that solution separate and apart from the criminal process.
All right. So what was that all about? Well, it's very simple. Mr. President, if you promise not to ever run for the White House again, we're not going to prosecute you. That's what's going on here. Just so you understand the severity of the situation that we're in. You want to talk about a constitutional crisis? We are heading to a constitutional crisis, and it will come to a head tomorrow. I want you to remember something that David Plouffe said back in 2016. Now, Mr. Plouffe was President Obama's former campaign manager, and he wrote this on Twitter, and he deleted it, but we got a copy of it. And I want you to listen to his words here when talking about Donald Trump, and then I think you'll be able to understand exactly what is going on here. In 2016, he said this about Donald Trump: "It is not enough to simply beat Trump. He must be destroyed thoroughly. His kind must not rise again." That's the quote from former President Trump's campaign manager. And it's not just, remember when Trump gets up there and he does the big rallies or he gives a speech and he says, this is not about me, he says, this is about you. You, the great vast audience of the Todd Stearns radio program. It's about you. And that's what David Plouffe is talking about here, because his kind is us. We're the Make America Great Again crowd, the America First crowd, the conservatives, the gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorables. That's what they're referring to here, that our kind of people must not be allowed to rise again. Do you hear this? Do you understand now how evil and devious these people are? His kind must not rise again. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, I have been doing the whole exercise thing. By the way, I was out yesterday for a walk before the storms came. Somebody said, you know, you got to get off the track and you ought to go on one of these hikes on the trails. So I'm like, well, all right. So I get out there and I'm on one of these trails and you park over, there's a Chick-fil-A and then there's like one of these, they call them greenways, right? So I parked my car and got on the trail and idle. I was about a quarter mile in and all of a sudden I see it. This large snake just slithering across the path. And I thought, oh, geez, Lou. I took a picture of it, and I put it on the Instagram. And I'm not one of these snake people. Snakes and spiders, they get to. I'm being real with you. I don't like snakes, don't like spiders. So anyway, I took a shot of it and sent it, posted it, and I said, friend or foe? And everybody seems to believe that this is a king snake, which apparently is one of the good snakes. I do not know snakes. I just don't like any of them. It's nothing personal. I just don't like you if you're a snake, humans or otherwise. So anyway, they said, did you kill the snake? No, I didn't kill the snake. The snake let me live, so I let the snake live. And then I immediately turned around and went back to the the track. Not going to do that. So anyway, I'm trying to exercise and get healthy. And one of the reasons I was able to boot, scoot, and boogie out of there as soon as I saw that snake is because of balance of nature. 31 fruits and veggies every time I get my monthly shipment. And it's really amazing. I have been on this for 2 months now, going on three. Easy capsules. I pop in my mouth every day. And it's like really just this, they call it a cornucopia of nutrition in the palm of my hand. Look, I just love it because it works. And I get energy. I get the nourishment I need. And it's important for me to get that. And there's no other way I would ever get that level of nourishment except through balance of nature. And I want you to give it a shot, too. You're going to love it. And I'm going to give you 35% off your first order as a preferred customer. Got to use my discount code Todd when you go to balanceofnature.com. That's balanceofnature.com. Use the discount code Todd. You can also call by phone. That number, 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com. Shipping always free. Got to love that. Be sure to use that discount code Todd. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Weird story out of Lockport, New York. That's along the Erie Canal, and they do these tour boats. They go into the caves, and there's a cave tour. This is in Niagara County. And according to local reports, one of the boats capsized in the cave. And we understand about 30-some-odd people were in the boat when it collapsed or capsized. So we'll keep you updated there, but search and rescue underway as they try to figure out what happened. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Sharon, a member of our friends over at the Stitch and Chat at the Methodist Church in North Carolina. Hi, Sharon. What's on your mind today?
Well, I got to tell you, I was listening to the Brian Kilmeade show this morning, and he did an interview with a fellow that was telling me all about this female Chinese spy that was working with Joe Biden's son, and she personally took a lot of boxes at the end of the Obama administration, put them in her car, personally drove to Chinatown in Washington, D.C., and put them in an unlocked storage space where anybody and everybody could see them. Made me sick. Thing is, she still has her top secret clearance, and she's over there working in the Pentagon.
Well, I don't listen to Brian Kilmeade. Not a big fan of that show, but I had heard reports that some of the classified documents had been in fact found in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a question because on one of the news shows my husband watches in the morning, they were talking about some of these papers that they found in Mar-a-Lago. And, oh, it was just, you know, all these top secret military papers for this and that. And they were being real vague about their descriptions, and something just hit me as not being quite right. So I asked my husband, who is retired Marine, I said, could these papers that they're referring to be hypothetical scenarios that you study at the War College?
Well, I guess they could be. I don't know. I mean, again, we haven't seen the evidence, and my concern is, was anything planted? That's because when this first came out, the FBI said, well, we found some Time magazine covers and something written on a napkin and a couple of menus. But when they ordered the president's attorneys and all of the staff to evacuate the building and only the FBI agents were allowed inside, Look, I don't have any problem telling you I don't believe it. I don't believe that they're honest brokers, the FBI.
No, neither do I.
All right, we got to, Sharon, we got to run here. We're running up against a break here, but I appreciate you calling in. Look, yeah, I don't trust the FBI one bit. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, when the FBI shows up at your door, you ask to see a warrant. If they have no warrant, tell them, talk to your attorney, and politely close the door. You don't have to slam the door, but you can gently close the door. Do not talk to the FBI. If they ask you, it surely is a nice day, and you say yes, guess what? It may not be a nice day, according to the FBI, and they could charge you with a crime. You can't trust these people. All right, we got Dinesh D'Souza coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This is an official proclamation from Special Agent Bernard P. Fife with the FBI. The Federal Bureau of Intimidation. Now, while we were monitoring a known rabble-rouser, a.k.a. Todd Starnes, we noticed that he and his listenership did not understand the severity of the charges against Donald Trump. There were 37 very serious violations of the Dewey Decimal System by the assailant, Donald J. Trump. You see, the National Archives uses Mr. Decimal System to correctly catalog and store important historical presidential papers, protecting them from foreign agents who would just love to know what was served at a private dinner with the President of France 6 years ago, the length of the President's hair in centimeters, and what tunes are on the Vice President's iPhone. So please, take this indictment seriously and tune to the nearest public radio station for wholesome information while you still have a chance to escape scrutiny by our department. This is your final warning.
Barney, you know you beat all.
Well, I was just trying to tell them that.
Well, all right. Thank you, Barney Fife there. Always on the case. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Great to have you with us today. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome a great American patriot, our good friend, host of the Dinesh D'Souza podcast. Dinesh, good to have you back with us.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Wow. You know, I was looking at a couple of stories from over the weekend, and one of the ones that just got completely bulldozed over, Dinesh, is the fact that Joe Biden took a bribe. That's the allegation, as did his son, to the tune of $5 million apiece. And it seems to me, I don't believe in coincidences, so the president's indictment comes down the same day this happens?
Well, the bribery story is the real story, and the indictment is, quite honestly, kind of a joke. And I say that because, you know, I'm reading through this indictment, and it keeps talking about the fact that, well, first of all, the thing that we expected is not in the indictment, right? We expected Trump is hanging on to these classified documents. That's why we had to raid his home. He's not actually charged with that. He's charged with violations of national security. And so you expect them to find out. They talk about the gravest secrets the country has. And I'm waiting to find out, well, okay, so who got those secrets? I mean, did the Chinese get them? Were there spies involved? Was this information sold to some hostile party? And the answer is none of the above is even alleged. So evidently there were these secrets. They were in Trump's possession in a facility guarded by the Secret Service. And this is supposed to be grounds for putting the president, the former president, into jail for possibly up to 20 years. So the insanity of this, I mean, it just makes your jaw drop. Now, contrast this with the fact that in Biden's case, there appears to be direct evidence. This is not a Hunter Biden scandal. It's a Joe Biden scandal. He's the mafia boss. I mean, he's the Don Corleone. Hunter Biden is the bag man, just like James Biden, Frank Biden. There are a lot of Biden bag men and bag women, but ultimately this is about Joe Biden. And so, you know, there's a ways to go, but the House needs to really ramp this up. And they should do what the Democrats do. The Democrats sort of, I won't say shoot first and ask questions later, but they indict first. And I don't see why the House Republicans haven't opened up multiple impeachment proceedings already.
I think that's a great frustration that many in our audience share with you, Dinesh, is that there have not been the impeachment proceedings that people have, you know, again, it's as if the Republicans think they're playing a game of badminton while the Democrats are literally bracing for a street fight. And I think the average American is going, what's going on here? There's something missing with the Republican response to all of this.
I mean, this is especially evident when you listen to some of the would-be Republican candidates talk. I mean, Chris Christie, Asa Hutchinson, even Nikki Haley, certainly Mike Pence. I mean, it's not that I dislike these people. I've had Nikki Haley on my podcast. I think many of these guys are fairly grounded people, but they are. It's almost like they're living in a different era. They don't recognize that, you know, historically speaking, it's the 1850s. I mean, things are really heating up, and the other side has become completely gangsterized. And they want to not just get Trump no matter what. They're going after a lot of ordinary people merely for expressing conservative views. They're going after pro-lifers, moms who go to school board meetings. I had a woman on my podcast today. They're going after her because she drove alongside the Biden bus with Trump posters. And she's being sued under the Ku Klux Klan Act for doing that. This is just an ordinary person. So what I'm saying is the escalation on the other side is tremendous. And I think here's the point. The reason they're doing it is because they think we're namby-pambies and we won't do it to them.
We are. We have yet to demonstrate that we're capable of doing it to them.
Exactly. Think of all the state district attorneys, for example. There's not a single Republican state DA who has filed a charge against a major Democrat. If these were Democrats, they would look at all these crimes, take even Biden's crimes. And let's say, for example, that there's nothing being done at the federal level. Well, okay, if there's any connection with a Republican state, the Republican state attorney can file claims and get things moving. Now, it's not that we're doing nothing. There are some fronts. I mean, I know, for example, the Attorney General of Missouri and others are exposing the whole network of censorship, for example, through the digital platforms, and that's advancing through the courts. So there are things that we're doing, but just not enough.
And Dinesh, you know, when I heard what they were doing to the president, it reminded me of what Obama did to you back in the day. And again, this is the third term of that administration. So I'm not terribly surprised to see where they, you know, when they went after the president and handed out these indictments. I mean, they are using the justice system to silence their political enemies.
I mean, this is when I, you know, stopped by to sort of thank Trump for the pardon that he gave me. And I was like, wow, thank you for doing that. It's really been important to remove that stain off of my record. He said, you know, he goes, you can thank me, but he goes, they're doing the same thing to me. And he recognized the connection. So under Obama, you had mostly a Republican Congress, and Obama's hands were somewhat tied. And so my case, and then some, you know, IRS targeting of Tea Party groups. So he got it going, but it didn't escalate until 2016 with Hillary, and then it's reached a whole new zenith with Biden.
You know, you go back, and I read the quote from Obama's former campaign director, when he said that Trump has to be destroyed, thoroughly destroyed. His kind can no longer be. Well, I got the quote right here. He said back in 2016, it's not enough to simply beat Trump. He must be destroyed thoroughly. His kind must not rise again. I mean, they sort of spell it out for all of us.
Yeah, and it's so obvious that this is a case of find me the man and I will find a crime, because clearly, the Mar-a-Lago raid, as I mentioned a moment ago, they're not charging him for that. So that was a fishing expedition. Let's get the raid, get a whole bunch of documents. We'll find something in there that we can use to go after him. And you have attorneys general campaigning for office on the grounds that they will get Trump. This was true of Fannie Willis in Georgia, also in New York. So quite clearly, this is a case. And again, this would be bad enough if it was any ordinary person. But the fact that it's the former president and the leading candidate for the Republican Party in the next election makes all of this really police state type of tactics.
Dinesh, I want to just pivot just slightly, but I'm curious on that issue as far as the election goes. And you're right, Trump is running away. Was the 38 points he's over DeSantis in the new post-indictment poll from CBS News. What is it about DeSantis that is just not connecting with the voters? This is very puzzling for a lot of folks.
Well, I think DeSantis is a kind of a policy man in an age where people are looking for something more than that. In other words, I do think policy is critically important, and the fact that DeSantis is on it really like no other governor. I mean, this guy, you know, he's let's get rid of affirmative action on Monday and let's take on Disney on Tuesday and let's do this on Wednesday and we'll take over a progressive college on Thursday and make it into a conservative college. And so this guy has a level, a grasp of operational detail and kind of moving the ball forward that I think is just thrilling to watch. Now, on the other hand, I think that there are a lot of ordinary Americans that they see Trump, and it's a little ironic because Trump is the billionaire. He's, you know, in some ways he's lived a sort of aristocratic kind of life, but at the same time, he has a relatability. You know, if DeSantis comes out of a meeting, he'll talk about the outcome of the meeting and the policy implications of it. Trump will come out of a meeting and say, yeah, I met with Kim Jong-un, and, you know, he wanted a sandwich, and he asked me who's Rocket Man, and so I gave him the CD. So the American people feel like, I'm getting on the inside of that meeting. I'm actually listening to people and what they're like and what their eccentricities are. And so Trump kind of gives them the scoop in a way that I think people find really very endearing and very attractive.
Yeah, well, that Waffle House appearance over the weekend was fast. Now, Dinesh, I know you're a highbrow kind of a guy. You're more like a Ruth's Chris Steakhouse guy. But have you been to the Waffle House, my friend?
I have.
All right. Yeah, you got it. I mean, look, it's a certain environment. And Trump walked in there like he had been a regular Waffle House customer for decades.
Well, here's the thing. I remember Michael Flynn. This was before they went after Flynn, talking about the Trump campaign of 2016. And he said when Trump called him and asked him to join the campaign, Flynn goes, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to be staying at the Ritz-Carlton, flying around in Trump's private jet, you know, to various appearances. He goes, the first campaign stop, we're like at the Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, what are you doing here, Mr. Trump? Well, it turns out he was staying there. And so was Michael Flynn and all the other campaign guys. So Trump is actually a guy who does, in fact, eat at the Waffle House, does, in fact, get burgers and fries, you know, does, in fact, in that sense, live an ordinary life.
Now, fair point. Real quick, tomorrow, what do you expect to see happen? A lot of nervous Nellies out there about tomorrow in Miami.
Well, you know, I think this is a little bit of a long play because the stuff that's going on here is they're going to try to string this out. Judges are going to have to face the issue of what do you do as you're starting to approach primaries and you're starting to approach a national election, and the Republican base is hanging on, you know, with Trump, as I think they should. And this is really uncharted territory. It's a little difficult for me to call the plays, but I do think that Trump has shown a resiliency and a toughness here. I mean, I don't know if any ordinary person could take this kind of a, you know, these powerful forces, and think about it, they're inside and outside the government. It's not just the Biden administration. It's not just the Justice Department. It's working in concert with the media, with digital platforms, with innumerable academics and nonprofit groups. So there's a kind of terrifying coalition, a private public, almost like a fascist coalition between government and non-governmental organizations, all mobilized against one man.
All right. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Dinesh, appreciate your great insight as always. And folks, you got to go download and subscribe this great podcast, Dinesh D'Souza Podcast, Salem. What is it? Salem Podcast. We're all on the same podcast network. You can get it there. Or Dinesh, where else can they get that podcast?
Well, it's on audio at Apple, Google, or Spotify, and it's on video on, well, it's on YouTube, but don't bother. Get it on Rumble. So I'd say video on Rumble or audio, Apple, Google, or Spotify.
All right, good stuff. Always good hearing from you. Hey, look, scattered, covered, and smothered on me the next time we get together.
Sounds good.
All right, Dinesh D'Souza, everybody, host of the Dinesh D'Souza podcast. Tomorrow is going to be it's going to be one of those history-making days to see what happens. And I would not be surprised if they try to keep this man in jail. But we'll see. The president is scheduled to address the nation tomorrow night from his golf course in New Jersey, Bedminster. So we'll keep you updated on that. But who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, that CBS poll, Trump 61%, DeSantis 23%. Scott and Mike Pence both trailing at 4%. Trump is 38 points over Ron DeSantis. By the way, President Trump posting on Truth Social just a little while ago, promising to go after Joe Biden and his family once he gets elected to the White House. I'd like to see the Republicans go after Joe Biden right now. Wouldn't you like that, ladies and gentlemen? Would you like to see the Republican House declare war on Joe Biden and the whole Biden crime syndicate? Drag them all in. Make them all testify. If they don't testify, throw them in jail. Contempt of Congress. I want to see somebody up on Capitol Hill get angry about all of this. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Hector in Miami. Hi, Hector. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hello, Todd. I think this is the whole document thing is a big to-do over nothing. I think actually this has all been a very, very shrewd move by Mr. Trump. He's playing four-dimensional chess, and the rest of them are all playing checkers. Look, despite the fact that he's a billionaire, he needs to raise money for his legal defense. The prior grifts, like the NFT trading card, I don't think they did too well.
What do you mean they didn't do too well? He sold out of them. I mean, he made millions of dollars. I'm not sure why you would call that a grift, but Hector, good try. But Trump sold out. That sounds like a pretty good business move, if you ask me. Certainly not grift. I mean, goodness gracious. All right, coming up, we're going to be checking in with our good friend Art Alley from the Timothy Plan, and they've got some great things happening there. We're going to be checking in with them. Also, people really riled up over Cracker Barrel and the gay rocking chairs or the rainbow the rainbow colored rocking chairs. Oh my gosh, folks! You just have to sit back and laugh at some of this stuff. But it is beyond bizarre what this whole Pride Month thing is doing. And what day is it? Oh, it's June 12th. Oh, my gosh. We're not even halfway through the month yet. Are you exhausted? I'm exhausted. I really am. And you do wonder, okay, what's coming next? We're going to play some audio coming up a little bit later from the gay pride celebration at the White House. Held out on the front lawn. It got canceled. They were originally going to do something. They were going to have a picnic. They had like just piles of cocktail weenies and the ho-hos, delicious desserts, all sorts, maybe some Shirley Temple's Idol though. But it was a hootenanny. I'll tell you that much. But are you just tired of it? I'm tired of it. You know, all you can do is really laugh now. I mean, it really is that sad and disgusting. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back, America. All All right, I've got to tell you about our good friends over at Newsmax TV. And by the way, Friday, I will be hosting the 4 o'clock hour on Newsmax television. So I would love for you to tune in and watch the big show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Heading to New York on Thursday. So we'll have fill in host on Thursday and Friday as we get settled. Then all next week, I'll be filling in the 4 o'clock hour. And you'll be able to watch. We're doing the show from New York City, our great friends at WABC. We're going to have a lot of fun. But back to Newsmax. Wow, the ratings up over 200%. Just remarkable. Every night, Newsmax offers a really tremendous lineup. You've got Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, Greta Van Susteren. Look, the fact is Americans are turning to Newsmax for the real news you can trust. And tonight, Eric Bolling continues that, talking about the dangers of Joe Biden and his health conditions. You got to watch Eric tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax, America's fastest growing cable news channel on all major cable systems. And you can also download it on your smartphone, which is what I did. Watch anytime. Make the switch to Newsmax, real news for real people. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always an honor to have our friend Art Alley, who is founder of the Timothy Plan. Art, hope you're doing good today.
Hey, man, I am doing great, and I'm going to be watching.
Well, thanks.
When you fill in for Tucker Carlson. I mean, that'd be a great, I'm going to call those guys. I'll say, you know what, you need to call Todd.
Well, you're kind to say that, but I'll tell you, Art, it's amazing what those makeup artists can do. You know, they got to make me look presentable on TV. Oh, my goodness. Woo. Hey, Art, you have almost been a prophet on this radio program. You have been warning people about the wokeness that has infiltrated big business. And sure enough, over the past couple of days, it was a Cracker Barrel. They've got the rainbow colored rocking chairs. And now Kellogg's came out today and they've embraced this Dylan Mulvaney character.
Oh, man. Well, and then we've got Fruit Loops. Where's this thing going?
Yeah.
But, you know, the encouraging thing, Todd, is the pushback that is finally happening. These companies are taking a financial hit for their woke nonsense. And Cracker Barrel is no exception to that. Look what happened to Target. Look what happened to Anheuser-Busch. Of course, we screen them out anyway, but... you know, you can't keep jamming a woke agenda down the throats of basic value-oriented men and women in this nation. And we're finally pushing back by avoiding going. It's always about the money, Todd, and these companies are getting the message, and they're backing off. But, you know, they have pushed too far. Satan always goes too far. I'm preaching now, I'm sorry. But he always goes too far.
Art, what do you make of the reaction? Because you're right. I mean, in years past, people have really said, well, you know, they just shrugged their shoulders. But not this year. It seems like people are really taking a stand. I'm wondering why that is. Why do you think that is?
Well, because it's in your face now. I mean, you can't ignore it anymore. You know, you go back to World War II Germany, you know, the attitude there among the Jews was, well, you know, they're not knocking on my door, so I guess it's all right. Well, they're knocking on all of our doors now. They're knocking on the doors of trying to take over our children, trying to, you know, jam this transitional sex thing down their throats, trying to have boys and girls bathrooms. People are finally waking up. And you know what? It's always about the money. And if we would just simply, you don't have to arm yourself with an AK-15 or whatever people run around with. All you have to do is stop spending your money at companies that are violating your basic moral value system. And at Timothy, our message is stop investing in these companies. Why would you want to own shares of companies trying to destroy you? So we're finally waking up, and I'm encouraged by it. The great silent majority maybe isn't going to be so silent anymore, and it's not that hard. You know, find an alternative. You don't have to go shop at these places.
You raise a great point, and a lot of people, it's not even in the thought process, and it certainly wasn't in mine at the time. But you may not be, say, going to Target, but the money you're investing may be going to support some other kind of company's woke agenda or ungodly agenda. And you raise a really interesting point, and I think this really explains Timothy Plan in a nutshell. You ask on the website, how much money is okay to have invested in abortion or pornography?
Right.
And the answer is simple, not a penny.
Zero, yeah.
And that's where Timothy Plan comes in.
Well, that's what God has called us to do, and that's our little brick in the wall. But it is starting to have a bit of an impact, and I can't tell you how encouraged. You know, you and I have been talking for quite a while, and it's always, you know, this kind of problem's coming up, and this kind of problem, and this kind of problem. Finally, we're getting some good news that the broad stream American shopper and investor is not going to take it anymore. It's like that, what was that movie years ago where the guy hung out the window and said, I'm not going to take it anymore. We're finally there. And I mean, Satan always goes too far. But you know what, Todd? And I don't mean to be, well, I do too. I'm biblical, man. I believe the creator God of the universe is real. I know that. I don't have to believe it. But Satan is real. And Satan thought he won at the cross, didn't he? And he was as wrong then as he is now. He thinks he's winning now, and he may be had his time for a season. But it may be over in America. We may be finally getting back to our core values, and it's long past time we did that. But I'm encouraged. It's starting to show evidence.
You guys have been doing this for a very long time, and folks, I would encourage you to go to the website, timothyplan.com. That's timothyplan.com, and it's very simple. Whether you are investing today for college or retirement or whatever your financial goals may be, one of the great things that Timothy Plan does is to help you enjoy peace of mind knowing that you are investing with integrity. In other words, your investments are not going to fund something that might violate your biblical beliefs. And Art, you've been doing this a very long time, and a lot of people may not be aware that you can be very successful financially by investing with integrity.
Yeah, you sure can. And another thing people may want to look at is their company retirement plan or their municipality retirement plan or wherever. If they're using BlackRock to invest that money, stand up and be counted. Tell them no. BlackRock is one of the big problems behind the push of this ESG woke movement among corporate America.
Mm.
Vanguard doing the same thing. Tell your employer, get out of there. People are also waking up to that, and states are waking up and changing their retirement plans. BlackRock is starting to take a hit. But, I mean, with $10 trillion, they can afford to take a hit for a long time. But, you know, keep your eyes out. Pay attention to what's going on. And then do something about it. If it's nothing more than just avoid owning, avoid shopping at these places, and they will get the message because there's a whole lot more of us than there are of them.
It's that simple. Art, we're going to have to leave it there. It's always great to have you on the program, and we appreciate your great guidance as always.
Well, Todd, great. And good luck on Newsmax, man. I love that.
I'll give you a shout out, Art.
Okay. All right, man.
All right. Art,
take care. God bless.
All right. Art Alley, everybody, with Timothy Plan. I love these guys. And it's really about building a patriot economy, right? Where we are supporting businesses, we're supporting organizations that share our values. That's what the left has been doing, and they've been very successful at that. Well, it's time for us to take patriot money out of that economy and put it into the patriot economy and start supporting businesses that share our values. And one of the things I love about Timothy Plan, they've illustrated decade after decade, hey, you can have a very successful investment portfolio and do that by subscribing to the values that Timothy Plan has. Their slogan is investing with biblical principles. Great stuff. All right, TimothyPlan.com. That's TimothyPlan.com. Folks, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, so DeSantis sat down for an interview with Hugh Hewitt, who is, Hugh is not exactly super pro-Trump, and therefore DeSantis felt like he had an easy interview, which is why DeSantis will not come on this program, because we will ask tough questions. We'll be fair, but we'll be tough. Anyway, Hugh Hewitt was offering some praise for Trump, and he asked DeSantis a question today. Are you going to make the same kind of pledge to the Republicans as you go around the country that your judges will be like the Trump judges? So DeSantis shot back, and he suggested that actually Trump put liberal justices on the bench. No, I'm not making this up. I'm going to read the quote here. He says, quote, "I would say we're going to do better than that, better than Trump. I mean, I respect the three appointees he did, but none of those three are at the same level of Justices Thomas and Justice Alito. And I think they are the gold standard. So my justices will be along the lines of a Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas." So you're sitting here and telling me, Ron DeSantis, that Kavanaugh and Gorsuch and Barrett are not conservative justices? He goes on to say, in Florida, I inherited a very liberal state Supreme Court, maybe the most liberal in the country. Very activist. But I was able to replace three of the four liberals my first month in office with conservative justices. Okay, that's just weird. Why not give Trump a little bit of praise here? I mean, Trump did a pretty darn good job with his Supreme Court picks. And quite frankly, a lot of the lower court picks as well. It's just an odd line of attack that Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Barrett are not somehow conservative. That's very strange to me. Oh, by the way, Kevin McCarthy, we got to play this audio. This just happened. Kevin McCarthy went after it with one of the CNN reporterettes. Take a listen.
The idea of equal justice is not playing out here. And so that's a real concern to all Americans. So as a policymaker, elected officials, we want to make sure it's equal justice for all. We want to look that it's a weaponization. Now, you're with CNN, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this even further, because when somebody weaponizes government and they actually get removed from government, let's take Andrew McCabe, okay? Former deputy.
But this is a different case.
Let me answer the question.
This is a different set of circumstances, right? I mean, the former president is accused of misleading law enforcement, of a conspiracy of obstructing justice. That's a different set of facts. Are you prepared to defend him as the former president, and what other actions will the House take in the House Judiciary Committee in terms of funding?
Are you prepared to defend your network, CNN? I'm answering your question. You could ask me any question you want, but I'm entitled to answer the question, okay? You can't put words in my mouth. Even though your network can hire Andrew McCabe,
who was fired from
the FBI for leaking classified documents. Did you remove him from your network? No, you continue to put him on to give judgment against President Trump.
Speaker.
You also hire Clapper. Clapper has come out publicly.
What steps is the House going to take in terms of, is there any effort to defund the FBI, any effort to defund the Department of Justice after what you've seen over the last several days?
So your network hires Clapper, who literally lied to the American public, one of 51 other individuals that had briefings and used it politically to tell the American public that a laptop was Russia collusion, even though it had all this information about the Biden administration. Are you prepared to get rid of those people from your network? Because my concern as a policymaker is that when you weaponize government and now you're weaponizing networks, that is wrong. So we will take all of our power to make sure that the legal system in America gets the blinders back on and and people are treated fairly. I have a real problem that your network actually pays people who did classified information and then lied to the American public to try to influence a presidential election, and then you put them on your network to give an opinion about
a
president.
And
I'm answering your
But you're not answering
very clearly, because what your network has done has weaponized at the same time. I think equal justice is important.
Good for you. Good for you, Mr. Speaker. And that's how you push back against CNN and their little reporterettes. And then what happens is, what'll happen, they'll go back to the shows and they'll all whine about, oh, he was mean to me. We sent a girl reporter. He was mean to our girl reporter. You just mean, nasty brute. That's all he is, a mean, nasty brute who likes to pick on girl reporters. That's true. That's exactly what they'll do. Well, I say good for you, Mr. Speaker. You may not have a job in a couple of days after the Freedom Caucus gets after you, but you know what? You did good today. So we'll give you a thumbs up there. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the level of attack that we have to engage in every single day with these people. This is a war. Do not underestimate the power of these Democrats. We are fighting every single day on this radio program, on our website, in our newsletter, our podcast, every single day. We're fighting these people. This is war. They want to destroy anyone that is opposed to their radical agenda, period. That's all this is. And that's what's happening right now with Donald Trump. They're trying to destroy him to make sure that he can never run for president again. And after they destroy him, they're going to pour salt all over Mar-a-Lago so nothing can ever grow there again. That is the level of their hatred. And that's why it's incumbent upon Republicans to just look deep down inside. And it may be in their inner bowels, but they've got to find their man parts and they've got to stand up and fight back. And if it means impeaching every single member of the Biden administration, impeach their butts. Impeach every single one of them. They deserve it. They deserve what's coming. Do unto others just as they did to you. That's in the New Revised Republican Standard Version of the Holy Bible, I think. We'll have to fact check that. We'll get back to you tomorrow on that one. So anyway, folks, hang tight. Tomorrow's going to be an insanely crazy day, and we're going to give you a front row view of all of it. Instant analysis, as always, as we wait to see what happens when the president is arraigned in Miami. We're going to be checking in with our pundits all over the country, and of course, we're going to be taking your calls as well. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for the day. Head over to the website, go read, download the newsletter, get the podcast. Most importantly, you be good, America.